So instrumental operant conditioning. I will go back and I'll show you where this comes from. Instrumental operant conditioning. So under behavioral, this thing, classical conditioning we have studied, instrumental or operant conditioning theory we will be now studying it. Okay. So emphasis here is on the behavior that is voluntary, that is emitted, that is naturally coming out, and not a reflexive behavior. So every time it is said that the situation being different, the individual's reflexive behavior, emitted behavior, or a shown behavior is different than the reflexive behavior. Reflexive behavior is an outcome of a thoughtful this thing, but in the normal environment, it is a voluntary this thing that has to come out. Here, behaviors are learned as a result of their consequences. Behavior learning takes place as a result of what consequences it leads you to. Behavior was instrumental in obtaining a goal, and the consequence of the behavior were responsible for the tendency to exhibit or a repeat a behavior. So, what it is trying to tell you that behavior was instrumental in obtaining a goal. So, when that behavioral conditioning was happening, when the behavior this thing was expected from you, your goal at that time is a consequence or the result of your tendency to exhibit a behavior. So, it's at that point of time, what is your tendency? What is it you want to reflect upon? So, that's how you have behaved. So, that's how instrumental operant conditioning related this thing. Theodenk named these principles of instrumental conditioning as a law of effect. And then this conditioning was given a name specifically called law of effect. If behavior had a positive consequence or lead to a satisfying state of being, if your behavior leads you to a positive effect or makes you satisfied, the response would be strengthened. Your response subsequently, the response that you will give it will always get strengthened. If on the other end, behavior had a negative consequences, the response would be weakened. For example, the puzzle box. Here the example is taken. If you fail to solve the puzzle, so next time your response will not be so encouraging. But if you are solving the puzzle, then every time you are willingly participating, for example, my response to Rubik cubes will be always weakened, will be negative because I have been never able to solve. Okay. So, I show a disinterest when it is coming in front of you. But there are some puzzles that if you have solved, then if that comes in front of you, or when you are boring and somebody says, okay, let's play, wagera, you will say, okay, let's play this puzzle. It will happen that way. Okay. So, the third is operant conditioning and reinforcement. So, we are trying to understand operant conditioning. We have understood instrumental operant conditioning. There is operant conditioning and reinforcement. That also one need to understand. Similar to instrumental conditioning, operant conditioning requires that an organism operates on the environment to achieve goal. Okay, so organism means the individual or whoever. He has to operate within the environment to achieve his goal. So, environment may be changing, environment may be different, environment may be constraining, environment may be free, open. Behavior is learned as a function of the consequences of the behavior according to a schedule of reinforcement or a punishment. So, behavior is learned as a consequence of the environmental stimuli that has been coming to you, which is either as a reinforcement or a punishment to you. Okay, so here emphasizes on the reinforcement or the reinforcer. So, who's that reinforcing in upon you? Your learning will take place. So, your learning is dependent on who is reinforcing you. So, teacher reinforcing herself or teacher reinforcing it via parents has its own pros and cons. So, that is a result of this operant conditioning and reinforcement. The focus is on how the reinforcement is taking place. Reinforcers are events that follow a response and increase the likelihood of the response will be repeated. So, if the same person who is reinforcing you is an encouraging, it is positively poised, etc., you will also be likelihood of your response will be better. However, they do not suggest that the operation of a cognitive component such as a reward in this, the reward is not considered. Cognitive, this thing, as mentioned earlier, you will expect also a reward every time. In this, the reward is not necessarily been given every time. Learning is influenced according to the schedule of reinforcement. You are meant to go through various reinforcement at a pre-designated period and under the pre-designated environment, which is office or school or as the case may be, that is supposed to change your shift in your learning habits, learning acceptance, etc. And therefore, the retention of your knowledge will take place. There are two laws to this under this operant conditioning and reinforcement. The law of conditioning, the law of extinction. It's not that we are getting into understanding this in detail. Reinforcement consists of the two types of events. One is a positive, which means that when the presented the probability of a behavior occurring is increased. So positive, this thing will lead to probability of the same behavior happening, it increases. In case of negative events, what they see is it is still an open issue. It may or it may not lead towards the negative side. So that has kept the negative side open. The positive side is reflective. It will happen, repeated this thing of reinforcement of a positive in nature will always trigger a kind of a positive response to that stimuli or the condition. In negative, it is kept open. Every time negative will lead to negative, not necessary. If the change is occurred by them, that time while the negative was happening and further negative happened, if the person has learned by the time, the next time his response may not be negative. Okay, because you have learned now. So we are learning various aspects of behavior learning theory. Now we come to a stage where factors that alter the effectiveness of the reinforcement and punishment. So after understanding the basics of entire theory where reinforcement and punishment etc. aspects was earlier covered in various conditioning behavioral theory that we have understood, these are the factors that may alter the overall effectiveness of the theory. So satiation and deprivation. So what it tries to tell you, satiation and the deprivation, which is a result of stimulus, but if it is happening too many times beyond a point, the person or the subject which is undergoing that will change his response. So even dog, after he's been subjected to many times where the conditioning of the bell is happening but the food is not fed and satiation is occurring, then he reads the thing differently, and then he will also try to improvise himself immediacy. And so it's like the learning says that the response is depending on the immediate conditioning that happens. Now for you to create that expected response as desired by you, immediacy is very important. You cannot have a long time gestation. You do not, therefore the advertisers say, do not allow you a long gestation in your decision making, etc. They want you to take a quick decision, therefore scheme expires today and blah blah, you know. Contingency, in the sense, all said and done, if there is a contingency, the response behavior may be altered. Yani. So if the person faces a situation which is a kind of a serious situation or something puts him into a complex positions, etc., then his response, this thing may differ. It may not be as we have understood earlier. The size of the reward or the punishment may also change his response. So if the size of the reward is not so encouraging, then his response over a period of time will change. Same is the case with the punishment. So that's how there are the four aspects which may alter the effectiveness of the reinforcement and the punishment theory. Evaluation of instrumental learning. So types of behavior learning, under that evaluation of instrumental learning, it forms the habit. So essentially it believes that it forms the habit. Learning happens even by observation. So here it's a kind of a critique which brings you towards more a cognitive learning theory type, where in the overall previous one behavioral, this thing it says it forms a habit. However, there is a contradictory this thing to that is also available. Learning happens even by observation. So for the learning to happen, there is no need for a stimulus. Yeah, so here that bell which was ringing, it is not required. Learning can even happen by observation. So that is another criticism kind of thing. And human can think. Human has a power to think, which is not present in the animals. So cognitive learning theory got evolved therefore and out of this limitations. Okay. So we finished various learning theory. Now we come to one aspect which is linked to the learning theory, which is a memorization. So there are three components of memorization: sensory store, working memory, and long-term memory. So sensory store is like all inputs which is going there stores this thing. You may forget or you may lose. Working memory, short-term, which is a short-term memory, which is you recall it when it is needed most. So long-term memory, many times the retrieval takes place. You meet somebody after ages, you know, and he's still able to recall your name. He's still able to recall the incidences, how you met, and you know, those kind of things you would have noticed. That's a result of long-term story, and a retrieval happens. So memory has this three component. We may not know the two aspects. We know that it is sensory or organ stores the data, but there is a two sets, short term and a long term. There are three main stages we have just discussed. However, the forgetfulness and the is a result of distortion. Rehearsal is a result of maintenance and elaborativeness with which you store the data. Many times you do not rehearse, many times you do not do an elaborate way to absorb the data, so that forgetful this thing state comes in. So this is the basics that we are just trying to understand about the storage, retention and retrieval of information, because it is linked with the learning. There are level of processing, first, second and third. First is a very primary level, second wherein you know you essentially just have the data, you do not do much of an analysis or thinking on it. Second is like you try to do, you try to figure out some meaning, etc. However, you remain inconclusive, you have just absorbed it and retained it. The third one is a deep thinking, wherein you get into evaluating, probing, analyzing and making a meaning out of it. That's a third level, there's a deep thinking level. So what are the marketing implications of these theories? It emphasizes the importance of providing information to consumers. So what it says, the memory theory vis-a-vis this level of processing, etc., that information is of a paramount importance. So keep providing information to the consumers. Providing information can be promotional strategy also. So you provide the strategy, may not be say everything on the launch, but when you are getting into the promotion, this thing, you may reveal more information. That more information, this thing will improve the comprehension, comparison, etc., and therefore the decision making by the consumer. Marketers draw on both the cognitive and operative conditioning. We have understood earlier various cognitive conditioning theory and an operant conditioning theory, which believes that the consumer can think. So marketer is to utilize both this power to his advantage, providing information about the product, that is eggs are okay. It draws on the cognitive theory. People who absorb this, Sunday hoya Monday, har roj khao one day, okay? So like the cognitive theory makes you believe by thinking, by the information that you already possess, what you think about it, and therefore it helps you to believe it. Providing rewards, for example, frequent flyer miles, coupons, etc., draw on classical conditioning theory. So here you are providing other means to retain them, attract them, etc. So that's how the marketeers play with our learning theory. You know, they utilize this learning theory to encash benefit for them. We come back to the behavioral learning theory after in between we understood what is this memory, this thing aspects and its implications by the marketing. There is another theory called involvement theory. Involvement theory discusses about limited versus extensive information processing. Limited versus extensive. Salt, you don't need all the information, but if it is a laptop, if it you are buying something, say microwave, etc., you need more information, more to do with the functioning of the brain and how learning happens. So there are divisions in the brain, so we are not getting so much into it. hemispheral lateralization or a split brain theory, as they say. Left brain is generally recognized for the cognitive information gathering and analysis. Right brain is non-verbal, timeless, pictorial and holistic information storage and processing area, as they say. So what we are trying to understand is the extensive information processing where laptop and such things require. So at that time, the left and right brain working takes place. The left side of the brain is supposed to be the rational, more active, because it is information based. It is realistic, rational analysis based. The right side is more emotional, metaphoric, impulsive, intuitive kind of analysis and conclusion it draws. So low information media, low involvement media, including high involvement media, connect with the theory. Therefore, people use media which is also needing low involvement. Purit test by the Tata Salt. It came on the television. We saw it, and you know, it's okay. We absorbed. We understood. It doesn't lead to so much of an engagement on, say, digital and all those things. While laptop, instruments, softwares, etc., applications, they get into so many high involvement media, so that you often try them, you often experience them, and then you decide. So that's how these things go. It has aspects, two different aspects. The tri-component model, which is having a three components to it, and the special judgment theory. So under the involvement theory, there are two separate set of approach. So one is a tri-component model, which is to do with cognitive, that is information related. Cognitive, which is a behavioral. But behavioral is an outcome of affective component. Here, information is processed, analyzed and concluded upon. So you get into an affective, this thing you form towards the brand, your attitude gets formed towards the brand or the product, and that leads to the cognitive state, wherein the behavioral response takes place. So cognitive is all information is gathered and compiled, stored, etc. Based on that analysis, your affective, this thing takes place, affective state takes place, wherein you built an affective, positive or negative towards the attitude towards the brand and the product. Based on that, you get to the cognitive state, which is a behavioral state. You will either act, behave favorably or not favorably with the brand or the product. Social judgment theory works more on the overall judgment that one builds about. How will that be a preferred position for you vis-a-vis the environment that you are in? So most preferred position, you aspire to get the most preferred position. Judgment about various alternatives that is being available to you. So most preferred position by acquiring certain things, you try to judge that. You judge various alternatives that is available to you for achieving the same or a better this thing. This gets linked to the level of ego. And involvement with the issue. So how much your ego is linked to it vis-a-vis what is the involvement that is needed for you to achieve the desired results. So this is that ego involvement kind of thing perspective comes in. So most preferred position that you try to derive for yourself, judgment about various alternatives that is available to you to achieve this, and then your ego and your involvement when it starts playing together to arrive at a conclusion. So that's a social judgment theory. You will have certain latitude of rejection. You may reject this on certain grounds. There are certain reasons, certain level at which you will accept it to be go by or reject it. Or non-commitment, you remain non-committal if it is not so favorable. At the same time, if it is not so negative, you remain non-committal. Vis-a-vis, you accept it. You accept, this is what I want to, achieve. This is what I want to get it, etc. So, therefore, you accept that. So, social judgment theory works on that premise. We come to understand what is the law of effect, because that we referred earlier. Other things remaining the same, other thing remaining the equal, responses made to the same satisfactory situation, they will be more likely to reoccur. So, if everything else remains same, responses that one makes to the same satisfactory situation will remain, will reoccur. So you have prior positive experience with the brand, with the product, with the place, etc. If that response has been satisfactory, there's a more chances of recurring this thing happening, recurring purchase, recurring visit, etc. So opposite of the above is also true. If it is not satisfactory, the recurring this thing will not happen. So it is more dangerous. So that's the reason why you see that so much of effort is there to have the first experience as a right experience, retail experience that every organization is trying to deliver. The greater the satisfaction or the discomfort or dissatisfaction, the greater the strengthening or the weakening of the bond. So if the good satisfaction, the bond becomes stronger. If there is no satisfaction or a weakening, if there is a dissatisfaction that is happening or a discomfort that is happening, the bond will become weaker. Translating this into understanding it as an advertising effect, there's a positive, therefore, correlation between the number of time the advertisement comes. Why you see that full page ad, then quarter page ad, then the small quarter page ad coming for month, 2 month, 3 month. This thing is, if the customer starts seeing the same ad again and again, on the first go, he may have just seen you, but he's not been able to link it with his need. As he sees you more, then suddenly the need comes in. Then he says, "Yaar, I better have this. Why not I try this?" So those kind of things. So as a result, so it's also the reach and exposure game. So reach and frequency, as you see, more the frequency, the exposure increases, and exposure increase will create a discomfort, will create a pressure on me to decide whether I have a desire for it. Means I have a monetary capability to convert my need, want into the acquisition. So that's what the desire will compel me to think, and then I will get into closing the deal by acquiring the goods or the service that I am striving for, I am missing out, etc. So that's the law of effect we have understood very briefly. Friends, in this particular chapter, I wish to just sum it up stating that these theories are essential for us to really understand how the learning is an instrumental in, one is understanding the consumer behavior, second influencing the consumer behavior, because consumer behavior has to do with the attitude. Attitude needs to be made favorable for the brand, for which the information needed to be fed. So this attitude can be changed. The changing is possible by feeding the right information. That's where that memory and this thing aspects we learned. And we connected also with the theory of involvement, wherein the satisfaction, dissatisfaction has its own way. And after that, we understood lastly the effect. So past positive experience will create a favorable effect. And the bonding will happen. Past not so positive experiences will weaken the bonding. And this translating at the end, that's the reason why marketeers has to emphasize on this experiential exposure of a consumer, moment of truth in service, as they say. Otherwise, the product experience every time has to be something which will exceed the expectation of the consumer, so that their bonding with your brand and this thing happens. And using the whole learning of the whole learning that we got into learning theory that we studied today, you are able to tune and develop your communication in such a way that it will get delivered, accepted, and create a desired impact. So that's the gist of this particular session. Thank you.